Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth. Airing live on Heritage Radio Network, I am joined, as usual these days, by Bao Food and Drink Mastermind, Michael Schwartz. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chad. What's going on?
So as per our system so far, and this is, what, our third show, fourth show, I guess, something like that. I texted him late last night with a topic, and he said, he texted me back, cool. That's the kind of support I need here. That's all. Not, okay, start texting me back with 1,000 different ideas. Text me back, you know, oh, maybe that would be good, but maybe we should add this. You know what he said? Cool. I said, hunting for meat versus buying meat, cost, etc., etc., tomorrow's topic. And he texted back, cool. And I'm like, that's my man right there. That's a man. That's how a man handles it right there. Cool. Done. I'll be there. And he was sitting on the other side of the wall from me today, and I thought he was going to be late, so I was going to bust his chops. But he's not, as usual, never late. And here... All right, Mike, where should we start? So this idea, it's funny because I've done it my whole life. I've hunted my whole life, and therefore I've been eating wild game my whole life, and therefore I haven't had to go to the supermarket, or my family hasn't had to go to the supermarket as much as I would say the average meat-eating American family would have to do. And I never really even gave it a second thought. You know, we were eating during the good years when I had a good hunting season, or my club or my family had a good hunting season. I mean, I would eat wild game four nights a week and not even blink an eye at it. It was normal. And then in the lean years, when I kind of fell out of hunting a little bit, I was going to college, culinary career starting, didn't have a lot of time to go hunting. It started dawning on me, all the shit. And you know, you're part of the rat race. And you're running home from work late, and you stop at Pathmark. and you buy a friggin' skirt steak or something, you throw it on the grill, and it started hitting me. What the hell am I eating? What am I doing? All the things I stand for within the food industry, I go against it. You know, I was going against it. And then I started realizing I have the tools to, at a minimum, supplement the meat that I put into my family's, into my family's body. And, I started realizing it became way more important when I had kids. You know, my son, my daughters now are getting older and they could appreciate it. So first of all, I want to teach them the right way. And I want to raise that next generation of, food revolutionary. And I want them to support, you know, the local farms, the local ecosystem as it is. So they could put fresh food on the table for their family. But to make a long story short, I never really gave it any thought as far as numbers or how much meat would I really have to do. We ate the meat out of the freezer until I ran out. So I started doing some research on it, and that gave me the thought for today's show that I can back it up with a little bit of math. And really, for you hunters, it's going to be easy. When I start doing the math and you realize how easy it is as an outdoorsman to really put a good amount of protein into your freezer by the end of the year, I think more hunters would actually push themselves and have the motivation to go out a little bit more. You know, there's plenty of times I know the guys I hunt with, not me personally, because I just like being away from my wife and being in the woods regardless. But I know a lot of guys, they get lazy. They take down a deer, you know, second week of archery season, and now they're like, the weather's going to be bad next week. It's going to rain. I'm not going out. You know, if you push yourself through the season, really a decent hunter, with decent access to the outdoors, or, you know, a decent hunting property, should be able to sustain their family on wild game alone, truthfully. And it's not going to be that hard. But why? Why should we do that? You know, and that's you know, your expertise. Well, you know, if there were a couple of points on why we shouldn't buy our meat from, and we're picking on Pathmark, but pick any of them, you know.
Pick any of the grocery stores that get their meat from the industrial food chain. So, you know, over the last 50 years, we've developed this, we being the United States, has developed this. Do we still consider ourselves part of the United States?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Absolutely. We just don't, we don't recognize the government.
We've created this food system where the animals that go for protein are raised in food lots. They're fed unnatural diets. They're completely unhealthy. They're full of antibiotics, chemicals, genetically modified grains, and consequently, they're not healthy to eat.
So let's talk about that for a second. You know, unnatural things that they eat. Explain to the people a little bit, a day in the life of feeding these animals, whatever, the cow, as an example. You know,
well, okay, so go back 75, 100 years ago, right? The cattle grazed, they ate grass, and somebody had to go rustle them up and bring them back in at the end of the day.
Right.
And they were healthy, and wild grass is full of omega-3 fatty acids. Right. It's healthy grass. It's clean. It's not,
you know, where this grown. Is depicted? In cartoons. Kids' cartoons. You ever see the cows in the cartoons? They got a cowbell.
Yeah.
They're all hanging out in the field, eating a little grass. They're chewing. They got a funny face, and the grass is hanging out of their mouths, right? And when the humans aren't around, they talk to each other. This is the way cows should be. But if they depicted how cows actually are now.
Right. So these cows, 100 years ago, or in some cases now, with companies that raise their animals naturally, like Heritage, they still do this. And when they do this, and they eat the grass, and they're healthy, and they take care of business out in the field, right? And so they're healthy, and they're not sick, and it's much healthier for us to eat. But over the last 50 years or so, the animals have been condensed down onto these small feedlots. They've been force-fed corn and soy and cottonseed garbage, all genetically modified since the 80s. And they're incredibly unhealthy. They're force-fed a lot of antibiotics to try to keep them more healthy, which just makes matters worse and creates super bugs, and they stand around and they eat and excrete in the same area, so they're completely sick. So that means that they eat where they shit,
right?
Which we don't do that,
right?
We don't want
to
do that.
And you just mentioned, you know, this idea that antibiotics, you know, there was a problem. The cows in this kind of confinement or this kind of living condition, guess what? Get sick the way any living creature would.
Think about it.
Right?
If you ate out of your toilet, you'd probably get sick too.
You'd probably eventually get sick. Absolutely. If you were all, my whole family was living in the bathroom, eating out of the toilet, yes, someone would get sick and we'd probably have death. So, you know, what was the industry's answer? Don't correct the living or what we're feeding them. Don't correct, you know, what we're doing wrong. We can't move backwards because it used to work. They had a system.
It used to work great.
It worked great.
But meat was expensive, and meat should be expensive. If you're going to buy it,
thank you,
then it should be expensive. If you're going to go out and harvest it yourself,
right,
then you use your skill, but it costs you time.
Right. And you know more about this now. I read something interesting the other day. Tell me if I'm remembering this right. It cost as much or less today to feed a family of any size, right? Family of five. Today than it did in the 50s.
Yeah, with correction for inflation and all that. Yeah,
right.
But we eat but the family that eats that way eats garbage.
Right,
right. It's awful, and it creates unhealthy people.
Right,
and look around at the epidemics of, you know, the MRSA infections in the hospital and the rates of cancer and the autoimmune disorders.
Yeah,
and all kinds of crazy stuff that's going on with people.
Weird. how that goes. You know, no one can figure it out.
Yeah, no one can figure it out.
We just can't figure out how this is only happening to the United States of America within reason, right? Why? Well, maybe because we screwed up the food chain. Maybe we should check there first.
And every country, every culture that accepts our practices gets sick as well. They get obese, they get type 2 diabetes, they get cancer, they get all kinds. So there's obviously something wrong.
Right. And that's why I propose more people take care of it for yourself. I hate to sound like a Republican because I'm not, for the 100th time, I'm a libertarian. But personal responsibility. You take care of your family. If you think the USDA is going to take care of your family, you're a jackass. I'm sorry to tell you that. All right? If you think the government is looking out for your best interest, you're a jackass. They are not. Okay? They are looking at the welfare in their minds of this whole country, of everyone, of the industry, of the businessman especially. You know, the
big businessman.
The big businessman, not the local guy. If anything, they're trying to squash the local guy. But they don't care about you and your family. And, it boils down to everything the FDA does, the USDA or the FDA for that matter does, as far as regulations and their spin on it. You know, the example is corn syrup. It's the perfect example. Their quote, one of their quotes from their latest report, or the latest report I read, was, "Your body processes corn syrup the same way it processes table sugar." And that by itself is a true statement, right? But we know the molecular makeup of corn syrup is completely different than the makeup of table sugar. So, you know, there's more fructose, you know, where in regular table sugar, not that regular table sugar is great.
Besides the fact that it's all genetically modified.
Right. Never mind that it starts there. So, you know, they give you one little true statement. Everyone says, see, and then we got all those commercials. Who's corn syrup in my ice pop? It's good for me. It's corn. Jackass. You're a jackass if you believe it. Don't trust them. Don't trust the government. So for me, it's a personal responsibility. If you're a hunter.
Do you have a dog?
I do. I have
two. Do you ever
dogs.
Smell your dog? It smells like corn, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, it smells like corn. You know why? Because his feed's all made of corn.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I mean, for me, I never really – my wife's in charge of feeding the dogs, like anything – like sustaining life in my family outside of me hunting. She does all of that. I was sitting there and I was reading something about – you know, what dogs eat. And I freaked out. You know, I was like, what are you feeding them? She's like, I don't know. I get it at Petco. It's this. And I was like, no more.
You should feed them the parts of your kill that you don't.
I do. I do. I don't have a system, but I have cooked down the ribs and stuff and stripped the meat and gave it, you know, stuff I don't use. I've given to my my golden retriever. We also have a little toy dog. I think it eats human food. I don't. It eats what I eat. It's better than me, I think. I eat the scraps. So my idea is, if you're a hunter, let's up the game a little bit and make it more than an enjoyable outing in the woods. Make it a responsibility. Put a little motivation into it to actually put this meat away. And even if you don't have a family, you're a young hunter, going out to kill your own meat. And then donate it. The New York State Venison Donation Program. There are families out there that need the meat and will benefit from this organic, naturally raised animal that is eating what it's supposed to eat with no antibiotics, managing to survive and be resilient to the point where the government feels they got to bring in federal sharpshooters to take care of these animals and kill them off. So, you know, why don't we do our part? Now, if you're not a hunter, here's what I propose. Meet a hunter, get to know hunters who give their meat away. I give my meat away. Or take up hunting as a pastime. Start slow, do a little bird hunt, go duck hunting, get into deer hunting. And you could go back in the archives of shows here, and I outline how to do this. I know it sounds like, I'm just going to jump up and start hunting. Yeah, pretty much. Give me a call. You could come hunting with me. It's not a problem. All right. Listen, let's take a short break here, and when we come back, we're gonna get a little more detail. We're gonna talk numbers, how much meat you need, how this meat is better than the meat you're buying in the grocery store. So you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Heart on the Line by Pamela Royale on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Buying the grocery store gets thrown in the garbage.
Yeah. See? And we're going to talk about that. And we just did. Because welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and I am joined by Mike Schwartz. All right, Mike. So I did a little math, believe it or not. The things I'll do for my radio show. The USDA recommends that the average person consumes 5 to 7 ounces of protein a day, broken down into 2 or 3 servings, whatever that means. So I thought we'd use, 6 ounces. I used 6 ounces of protein a day for the average person, and we were just discussing this on the break, and you said...
And I said that the average American eats a lot more protein than that. I mean, if you think about it, if you go out and get a hamburger, just right. An average hamburger is 8 ounces. You right. just blew your protein for the entire day.
Right.
And, or if you go to like a steakhouse and you get the 28-ounce sirloin,
right.
That's your protein for like right. almost and, the entire week.
And people don't do that every day. I get that. People don't run out to... Well, some people do. They do. But, even a chicken breast, you have... Let's talk about, my wife. She wakes up in the morning, eats some grains and cow feed and some other stuff and runs out the door.
Cow feed or cow feet?
Cow feed. Oh. I wish she would eat cow feet. Then she gets to work, and I know she gets her salad with the grilled chicken every day. It's got to be what? A minimum 4 ounces of chicken mm-hmm. on that dish. Never mind the beans, other protein sources. We get that. But then she comes home, and she loves chicken, and she'll have another chicken breast. So she's over the 6 ounces right there. My wife consumes just, meat, probably, and my wife doesn't eat a lot of meat compared to the average American, I would imagine. She consumes at least 8 ounces a day. So I base this on 6 because that's what you need. That's what you should have. It's a good number. And you're saying, well, I like meat. Good. Enjoy it. Slow down and enjoy the meat. And if you had to earn or pay for that meat, if you were hunting that meat, believe me, you wouldn't be making 8 ounce burgers for lunch on a Wednesday. You'd be conserving it. You'd be preparing it. You'd put more love into the preparation of it, and you would share it with people you love and like and appreciate.
You'd respect it more.
Yeah, we were just talking about my neighbors have a barbecue, and what do? They run out and they buy the giant bag of chicken wings or chicken legs, right? And they buy 10 times more than they need. Why? First of all, it's cheap. Right, they're buying a discount bulk brand of chicken, and they grill it all off. Half of it burns, half of it ends up in the garbage. No one finishes it, and we're very wasteful. And if we as Americans started cutting back on how much meat we ate, the industry would simply adjust. I believe
Absolutely.
That for
yeah.
they would stop doing what they're doing to put out all this meat. And that boils down to hunting it. Believe me, if you have to wake up, first of all, spend thousands of dollars, but wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, get out to your tree stand, survive the bitter cold, the toil of hunting, you're going to have a respect for that animal. It's funny, I was over at my friend's house the other day, and Saturday night, he invited us over, a bunch of couples, families, very nice hunting partner of mine. And I walk out, I'm like, what are you making? He's like, oh, I made chili, I made burritos, steak and chicken burritos, all this. He made a big feast. Fireman, pretty good cook, And I said, oh, venison chili? And he said, no, I didn't make the venison chili. I didn't make it because there's people here I don't want to share that with. So he was conserving his venison chili for people he really loved and for a time when it was special. And that's what it all boils down to. But let's get it, excuse me. Let's get into some math here. So for the hunter, 6 ounces of meat as an average, and converting this to pounds to make it easier. The average human should consume 136 and a half pounds of protein a year. That's it. 136. So, you know, go over that a little bit, go under that a little bit, whatever you want to do. Here's how it broke down for an average hunter. And I kind of based this on, you know, the whole country, because here in New York, you're not going to be able to go out and shoot an elk, but, you know, you could shoot an extra deer here. So, but one deer, shoot one deer a year. That's all I'm asking for, you know, which is completely.
They weigh 100. There's 120.
No. Well, we're going to go through the whole list of game. I'm sorry. No. So this is based on a live weight of a deer, probably average 160 pounds, somewhere in that ballpark. A buck, you know, a doe, maybe a little less, a little more, depending on the age of that buck. But out of that one deer, you get 58 pounds of meat, approximately. So, you know, the average deer, 58 pounds, one deer.
Your protein for the year.
Yeah, you put 58 pounds. If you live in the area, in an area of this country where you do a lot of elk hunting, first of all, God bless you. I'm happy for you. I wish. One thing I've never done is hunted elk. I want to do that. But, you know, you're out in the Midwest. You're out in the mountains. You shoot one elk. Guess what? The average weight of an elk, 400 pounds. Now you're getting about 200 pounds, 197 pounds of actual meat off that animal. Shoot two turkeys a year. Not a bad idea, right? So combine one deer, two turkeys, two 20-pound turkeys. Now, I know that's a pretty big turkey, but that's on the average size for New York State these days, around 20-pound turkey. It's not a huge turkey. It's not a trophy turkey, right? I've shot a lot smaller turkeys, I'm embarrassed to say. I have had a bunch that were bigger, though. So I'm saying 20 pounds, shoot two of them a year, and you have 22 pounds of meat from two turkeys. Never mind rabbit hunting. You know, 12 rabbits, you know, it sounds like a lot. But if you're a rabbit hunter, if listening to the show after, you know, that's not an unobtainable number, about 18 pounds of meat. If you live in Texas or down south somewhere and you got those wild boars running around, the pigs, you know, one wild pig averaging 150 pounds gives you 90 pounds of meat. How about trout fishermen? Right? How about we go do a little trout fisherman? Four trout, 2 pounds each, 5 pounds of meat. Four trout. I know trout fishermen that do way better than that. Never mind other fish. You know, I just threw in trout because it's a great fish. My buddy said to me as I was talking to him last night, he said, "What's your show on?" And I said, hunting for your sustainable meat and versus buying it in the store. And he goes, "Oh, all right." And then he brought up fishing. He's a big fisherman, saltwater fisherman. He fishes tuna, bluefish, all this. But then he was saying, oh, and he started reminiscing. He said, you know, me and my father used to go catfish fishing out in Lake Ronkonkoma, and we pull in 10, 30, 50 catfish back in the day. So if you could pull in 10 catfish a year, that's 15 pounds of meat. 5 pounds each catfish, 15 pounds of usable meat. So, you know, I think when you look at it like that, it's reasonable. I've had years where I've taken down three. I've had banner years where I've had four deer, you know, easily hunting on Long Island and upstate New York. First of all, Long Island, you could shoot a deer a day. You know, once you tag out, if you bring your deer to the check station, right, shoot a doe, bring it to the DEC check station, they'll pull a tooth out so they could age the deer. And give you a new tag to go shoot another deer. So, you know, I know hunters out on Long Island that take 10 deer a year and fill their freezer and can't eat it all. Can't, you know, just giving it away, trying to give it away. So, you know, there's a real, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, there's a sustainability here that's just laying out there waiting for people to take advantage of it. And really, why don't people? Well, first of all, you don't believe in hunting. Oh, it's unethical. Okay, Mike. Well, is it ethical to treat the cows the way we treat them? And the, you know, you go. Somebody emailed me that once. Why don't you go to the supermarket and buy the meat at the supermarket where all the animals are treated nicely and humanely? I'm like, you jackass. I think I texted her back. You're a jackass. I emailed her back. You're a jackass. That was it.
It was a woman.
It was, I assume. That's bad. For some reason, it was written like a woman, like she was very emotional about it. So I thought it might be a woman. I'm sorry to any women listeners, but that's the way I perceived it. And women hunters. Jesse, my co-host. I'm not a male chauvinist. Women are better than me in a lot of ways. But, you know, the tone of this email seemed feminine in a way. And maybe that's just my own sickness reading it, because I'm like, a man would not say that. A man would say, let's go kill deer. Let's jump out of trees and stab them in the back and eat them. Right?
Raw.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm sorry. I'm not. I've had deer under my tree stand. I said, I wonder if I jump out of his tree stand right now, land on its back, and stab him in the back and break his neck, if I could do that. I've wondered that. And then I thought better of it. I'm getting old. And I just shot him. But, you know, it's a primal instinct that men have. I'm sorry. It's there. And certain women, I think, have it and want to provide for their families and have the instinct. And then I know plenty of women who hunt, and they're great hunters. Better than men in some ways, based on their patience and their diligence in their approach to the hunt, compared to most men who slam the car door, run out into the field, and forget their bow once they get up in their tree stand. You know, the women that I've hunted with, or who in my hunting club out east on Long Island, you know, everything's checked off. Make sure we have everything. I mean, 50% of the time I get in my tree stand, I forget something. Oh, I forgot my binoculars. Oh, I forgot my spray. Oh, I forgot my lunch. Oh, always. And I'm suffering because of it. The females in the club never forget it. But we're off topic here. Never mind other animals. You know, duck hunting, quail hunting, pheasant hunting, all of this available to you in really, you know, right here in the Northeast. 2-hour drive upstate, 1.5-hour drive upstate. You're hunting pheasant, deer, bear, every imaginable wild game. You live in an area where there's a rich tradition of killing your own animals, and why more people wouldn't take advantage of that, except for the fact that they're ignorant to the sport, to the activity itself, or B, they're lazy, C, they don't think it's feasible because they don't have a gun, they don't have the license, they don't have anywhere to go. Well, I'm providing a service to you. If you want to hunt, email me at the station here. Get in touch with me somehow on Twitter. Whatever you want to do, get in touch with me, and I will facilitate your hunt. I will help you. I will walk you through the steps necessary to get out there and start hunting. Because I had some other numbers here, Mike, that were very, very interesting. Where did I put them? Right in my notes. La, la, la. I learned that on Howard Stern. That's a technique when you don't have anything to say on the radio, you hum. La, la, la.
You learned that on Howard Stern.
Yeah, Howard Stern does that all the time when he's, I hear, but he's cool because he flips through like paper.
Oh, right.
Right, as he's doing it, like he's actually still using paper. But here we go. I found it, see? All right. So, guess how many, let's play a guessing game. How many hunters do you think there are in the United States? Based on our population of what? 300 million? Are we? We're over that now. I think there's 350 million people in the United States? 320 million people? Is that right?
Something like that.
Something like that. All right, so how many hunters do you think there are?
Under 10%, under 30,000.
No, well, you were right as percentage. You were wrong by actual number, though.
300,000.
There are 13.7 million people that hunt over the age of 16. 13.7. That's more people than are in the military right now. There are more hunters than actual soldiers in this country right now. So bring the revolution on, by the way. Just saying. So that's about 6% of the total population. If just those people alone decided, I'm going to get serious about this hunting thing and I'm going to put the meat in my freezer and sustain my family on it, and at the very least try not to buy meat from outside sources, Pathmark, these kind of places. And if I do have to buy meat, buy it from a reputable, grass-fed, sustainable company that could provide you with good meat. But if I had to buy a little meat, buy it from there. We would turn the industry on its heels the numbers, that their sales would be down immensely. 13.7 million people just stopped buying meat this year. That would be incredible. That number would certainly register. I didn't do the math any further than that, but assuming 135 pounds times 13 million people, it's like a gazillion pounds of meat. And that would just come right out of the industry, and they, believe me, they would notice that, and it would be huge. Never mind new hunters getting involved, just all the millions of people listening to my podcast right now. If you went out and did your part, we would be in a better place. So, you know, that's my hope for this fine nation in which we live in, Mike. La, 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 la.
It's a great concept,
yeah.
But people get wrapped up in their own thing.
Yeah.
Just like I go around and I teach people how to make fermented food.
Right.
And then 90% of those people turn around and buy my product rather than making it themselves, because it's hard to do.
I hear you.
So if there was some kind of exchange where you could exchange your meat for something that somebody else did, because you – the USDA won't let you sell it, because that would be ridiculous.
No,
I mean, that... Oh, my God.
Well, listen. On some levels, we're going over time, but I want to talk about that with you. In some ways, it's good. I mean, we decimated the wild game population here years ago based on the fact that you could sell it.
Mm.
You know, so I think...
Yeah, but now there are controls.
There are controls so that much. Would probably... Yeah, right. If I got a few bucks for a deer I shot.
Right. So you could trade a deer for some turkeys or for some fish, or you could trade... you know, a pheasant for some bao fermented raw slaw, or you could, you know,
now,
some juice or something.
We call it the collective. That's actually a great idea, man. I'm all in. I'm 100% in. Let's do that. We're going to talk about that. Next week's show is going to be promoting the Sustainable Food Collective. We'll come up with a better name, more revolutionary name for it. Maybe like...
You need a lot of initials so you can have a good acronym.
F-U-S-D-A. How about that? That's a good acronym, wouldn't it be? F-U-S-D-A. I love it. The F-U-S-D-A, right? Collective. Founded by Michael Schwartz.
Okay.
Not Chad Pagano. He's just bringing a deer there once in a while. So, hey, listen. Thank you for joining us today. That's all the time we have. It went quick. Where's my notes? La, 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 la. I would like to thank Joe for producing and engineering today's show. You can always find the archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Thank you, Brooklyn.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.